Yeah. Each other on resurrection morning that he is risen, with response he is risen indeed. Let's take a minute to do that. Shake hands with someone, tell him that he's risen. Remind him good news, he is risen indeed.
That's all I need to say. All the way around.
Back to life, and let's be about promise of life. The only hope we have is that the word of God is true. I just encourage you this morning to open your hearts to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Open your eyes and see where he is. He's your Savior. He's very good. Very good, he lives. Very good, he lives.
Hallelujah.
Redeemer's alive!
I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you. Father, you are our Redeemer. And God, today we just want to lift up our hands to you. Thank you, Jesus, for rising from the dead. Thank you for giving us hope. God, may this be a day of celebration and of deliverance today, God. That we may be totally, completely surrendered to you, Father. That we may be yours, 100%. God, we love you. We love you, we thank you for this day, and thank you, God, that you are our Redeemer. God, we just want to receive what you have for us today. Holy Spirit, come on us. Bless the words that Stan's going to speak words. Anoint him. Let those words be words of truth that can penetrate our hearts, God.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
to see you.
All we can bring, it's all we have, it's just this heart. We offer it to you. Thank you, Jesus. Good to worship God. You know what? It's a real privilege to worship with worshipers. And we're here, and so many people here just want to worship, just want to lift Jesus up. We just need to get away from all the garbage and the noise of the world so we can spend a little time at Jesus' feet. And, you know, all we really, at the end of the day, all we really can do is just say thank you. We can never pay him back. All we can really do is just say thank you, Jesus. You died for me. Thank you so much. I want you to know today, I know that some of you haven't been here for a while, or maybe you've never been here before. You're walking here, and you're among a bunch of people that limp along. We are limpers. Even though we live in victory, we have great victory, there's still hard things in our lives. And the good news is that Jesus carries us, and he watches over you. And I know that God is really glad that you're here today, and he's got something for you. God doesn't bring us here and then leave us empty-handed. He brought you here for a reason. I know that there's some of you that just need encouragement. I know there's some of you that are just sharing with me over the service that you've been clean. Been clean for a week, I've been clean for 30 days, or Tyler's here, he's out of treatment just for the weekend, but there he is. Amen. We are people of such great hope. You know, it doesn't matter how you stumble, it doesn't matter what hole you find yourself in today, there's a way out of that hole, and that way is through Jesus Christ. And it's what Easter, it's what the resurrection is all about. He's alive, and he gives us hope, and he can change us. He can retune us back, you know, to the kind of people he wants us to be. And I want you to know today that it's all about God's grace. There's only one reason why we worship him. There's only one reason we have hope. It's because of grace. He offers it. He says, here, you're welcome back into my family anytime. That's why I died for you. So you're here for a purpose today. God has something that he wants to give you. He wants to reinstill the hope in you. There's lots of great stories about happening. I'm going to ask Chad to come up now, and Chad's going to tell a little bit about his story. We need to hear these testimonies. We need to hear how powerful God is. Amen? Amen.
Excellent. Here is God is going there. That's really awesome. Oh, Lord, I just give you this time. And Lord, help these words to be your words and not mine and not my vanity. And let me share what is on your heart and what is of you, Lord. And help me to not embarrass my wife too badly. So, Rita, if you could go to the next slide. I'm going to try to be as transparent as possible in my sharing this morning, and so that is a transparency of me to start with. Next slide. This was us growing up. Of course, I'm the one on the right. As a kid, I was very shy and very, very awkward, and that led into my teen years where I got involved in drugs and crime and a whole bunch of stuff that really was damaging at the time. When I was 11, 12, that sort of age, I was given an opportunity to accept Christ, and I was too shy at the time. This evangelist come through, and he preached the gospel, and he preached it really clearly, and I knew that's what I needed. I knew I needed to get right with God, and I knew I needed to ask Christ into my life. And I was too shy at the time, so I didn't do it. For whatever reason, you know, we all kind of have our reasons why we put off, you know, making a commitment to God. And the time I didn't do it, there was people with me. If one of them would have said, "Hey, do you want to go to the front? I'll pray with you," man, I'd have been up there like a rocket. But anyhow, I didn't. And so the rest of my teen years were drugs and selling drugs and crime and things that I should have got caught for. I got to be careful because we're on audio here. But it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit was there even through those years, where I wasn't confessing him, but was protecting me and keeping me. And there was even times where I should have got caught, but they would look at me and a couple other guys, and they would pin it on the other guy. So God's been really faithful through all of it. So hallelujah. So anyway, I grew up in Sylvan Lake, and we grew up in a double-income family where we had... you can go to the next slide, Rita. Yeah, thanks. We had lots of stuff. We did trips, and we had a great life. We were, you know, we weren't rich where mom and dad, you know, gave us stuff. Like, I had to work for my own car. It was my first car. However, there was still, you know, lots of things. We got to do vacations and go skiing and all kinds of fun stuff through the year. So go to the next one, Rita. My sport growing up was motocross racing. And this picture is actually hard to kind of see, but I took off from the beginning over there, and I'm landing after the tires. And if you look behind the red helmet, the little fluff there, that was my hair. And so I couldn't find a better picture, but in high school I had the second longest hair in high school, and the only one longer than me was this one girl who had been growing it out since grade 8. And I started in grade 9. And so anyway, I've got some other photos someday. Not today, though. Praise the Lord. So that was right around that time. There was about the time I actually got saved. What's the next slide, Rita? I can't say anything else now. But there's another picture that actually is supposed to come up at the end of that. It's actually our wedding photo. So anyway, I met the love of my life when I was 18 at the fair in Regina, and it wasn't actually Renee. She's the second love of my life. The first love of my life was Jesus, and so I was at the fair, I was at the carnival in Regina, Saskatchewan, and walking around, and I'd had a couple of beer, and I had some time to spare. I had about 5 minutes, and that's it. Yeah. So praise God, that's one of my answers to prayer after I got saved. So anyway, when I got saved, actually, I was at the fair, and there was these people with booths and tables at the fair, and I was walking around, and there was just a couple of because I think they were shorter than me, little ladies who had a table. It probably cost them $20 to rent this table, and they were just humble enough to rent the table. And they had some gospel tracts, and they shared and led people to the Lord all day long. And it was beautiful. And So I came across that table, and I was pretty sure that I was the classic Canadian Christian. I was unsaved, but I thought I was saved because I hadn't killed anyone, and I was pretty sure I was going to heaven. So she opens up this tract that says, "Do you know you're going to go to heaven for sure?" And I started reading it, and I said, "Well, yeah, of course I'm going to go to heaven. I'm pretty good. I'm a good guy, you know, and I've done all this nice stuff." And she started just hitting me with the law, the Ten Commandments, like right off the bat. She didn't even have to go into, you know, the New Testament depth. Like, she just started with that, and I was guilty of about 8 out of 10. And so anyway, she invited me to accept the Lord, and I was quite demonized at the time. And I even remember, as I was saying the sinner's prayer, it was just the devil was in my head, just, no, don't believe it. It's not real. But I knew after I left there that the Lord had done a mighty miracle. I felt lighter. I felt like I was just clean slate, forgiven. I knew he'd come in. So thereafter, if we're going to put a theme on what God's done since I got saved when I was 18, I would have to say it's probably answered prayer and provision, because we've had so many prayers answered. This obviously is one of them. I couldn't have done this. I mean, were my own attempts to date and have relationships, I think the longest was like 2 weeks before God did it. So so the Lord is really awesome. But so let's go to the next one, Rita. So once Renee and I were together, actually, can you flip back to that? One of Renee's prayers was to have a horse. It was a desire of her heart. And that's the first shot when we got him, where he was very malnourished, and he was a rescue project. And so it's neat, because the Lord gives us the desires of our hearts as we seek the kingdom first. All these other things that we worry about and fear and fret about, he puts it all together for us. And so this was a testimony when we were still living in town of just how God provided this horse. And anyway, so we still have him today. His name's Jack. The next slide is actually what he looked like after about a year of Renee loving on him. And so that's pretty special. So next slide. So then, this is another really cool testimony to the Lord, because, the happy face, that's just me getting creative on my farm, but we lived in town, but it was the desire of our hearts to be out of town, be on an acreage, and we just, you know, I don't know how much my actual involvement in that was, because really it was mostly a desire of my wife's heart, and she kept seeking, knocking, and asking, and in a short amount of time, the Lord put us out of town. And anyway, it goes on from there, but what's after that one? I feel like I should have a clicker. We are storm chasers. We love storm chasing. This is a shot out of our second floor window of a storm that moved in and across. And the next slide, this is a little bit about us, right? But that's the tornado that was over top of Totem. And so we actually followed it and chased it, and I ended up driving underneath it after that, which was really quite cool, but I don't want to show you that video, it'll scare you. You go to the next one, Rita. This is my answer to prayer horse. I had a list of about 10 things for my own horse, and had a customer accidentally email us one day saying, you know, we've got this horse, we're looking for a good home. And I started reading the specs on this horse, and it would like matched my request to the Lord of what my first horse is going to be like, basically to a T. And free to a good home, 15 two hands high, calm, bulletproof, you can put kids on her, under her, around her. So anyway, she ended up coming to be with us, and so that's another answer to prayer there. Go next. This is our place. It's actually a double rainbow over the place, which was fantastic. The cameras that we had couldn't get it. We didn't have a wide angle, but go next again. Okay, and I'll get into this in a minute. No, it's okay. It's okay. Actually, I'll share a couple of things here. and then maybe there's a few other people that would like to share as well. Since I was 18 and I got saved, actually I should back up. When I was a little kid, my parents would always marvel because I was the one that could take the toys apart and not just leave it apart, but I could put them back together and then they would still work. And so my parents thought that was really quite amazing. And so once I became a believer, of course, one of the things I looked for is hey, what works? And so I'm very kind of practical that way. I like things that work. And so as a result, we've come across several ministries that I'm just going to kind of quickly share with you, and then I have some resources that I'd be glad to pass out or leave for you guys, and they've been a real blessing. So Father's Love Letter was one I came across years ago, and it's at fatherslovelettery.com. Definitely some good verses to confess and go through when you're feeling down. So that's the first one. Next. Setting Captives Free is a ministry, online ministry website, accountability course for all kinds of addictions. I got set free from pornography shortly before I started my computer training and got into the computer industry. And it was neat because I kind of had to get set free of it, otherwise I wouldn't be able to do what I do. But this is one of the websites I came across for some other addictions, and I've had a lot of people go through it and been really blessed by it as well. I don't think I have anything to pass over that. Okay, next one. CreationToday.org, which is also Dr. Dino, is a creation evangelist website. Go there, watch the videos, especially if you've gone through the public school system and you've been taught evolution and that the world is millions of years old. This is tons and tons and tons of evidence. It's very, very good. So I usually have DVDs and stuff that I pass out as well, but definitely just check out the site. It's really cool, the evidence that they have there. Go next. I believe in a young earth, Doug. Gary Carpenter Ministries, I came across him many years ago. And Gary is a testimony to the Lord of what the Lord can do with a person who's just humble, that is just willing to pray and seek God and let God use him. And really need ministry. He can't take up offerings. He can't let you know the needs of the ministry. Everything's free. And he just has to solely rely on the Lord. And so that's what he does. You can go to the website and actually sign up for tapes and all kinds of free stuff. So I actually brought a bunch of the tapes with me. So I'm going to pass these out. They are they're actually quite amazing. But everything's actually available on the website now. So being digital, I have it all on my phone. So I haven't listened to tapes in about 5 years. So is there anyone here with a tape recorder at home that would be blessed by it? I have one. One there. Or maybe just leave these up or put them over on the side for after. And you guys can grab them as needed. If you listen to them, maybe bring them back to the church. I don't know if we have like a library area for. Oh, look at that. So okay, I'll set them over there. Right on. What's next, though, Rita? DaveLamsey.com. Growing up, my parents made enough money that they really didn't have to watch how much money they made. And so that was kind of really cool for them. But I never had much of a financial education. And so I got hooked up with Dave Ramsey's ministry here a number of years ago and started budgeting and stopped spending more than I was making. And I found a lot of peace through that. So that's been a major blessing. And I have basically a template that I designed based on the wisdom that was shared through his ministry. So I'll leave that at the back here as well, for those of you who don't have internet. And what next? So that's basically the resources there. I'm also going to leave some verse lists, daily confessions, and just some other materials there at the back as well. So. So that's it in a nutshell. Is there anyone else that's had some really awesome times of where the Lord has provided and answered prayer and stuff that you'd like to share? Go ahead, Kim. A couple of times during ministry and during deliverance times too, where the Lord took me back to when I was a small child during traumatic times as a small child that I thought I was alone and abandoned, which of course, you know, leads to other stuff in your teens. And the Lord took me back to those times and revealed himself to me during those times and showed me how he was actually there the whole time and I actually wasn't alone. And that was really healing for me as well. And it just reminded me of that, so praise the Lord. Anyone else?
Right on.
We have time for one more.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I've seen piles of, several of my family members who were unsaved since I got saved coming into the kingdom. And so just be encouraged and, you know, keep praying for them, right, that their eyes would be opened and that they would understand and seek God. Yeah. Thanks. For you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And not just now either.
Right on.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for our pastor, Stan, here, Lord. Thank you for the sacrifice that he gives every single week, Lord. Give him even more clarity and more abundance of revelation even now, Lord. We thank you that his life is not his own. We thank you that Christ lives within him. And we thank you that he freely shares the abundance of revelation that you're giving him, Lord. And I thank you for more boldness, Lord. I thank you that he has a forehead of flint and that he fears not the faces and he fears not the demonic. I thank you, Lord, that he is bold in all things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let love rise up and flow forth out of his mouth now from your throne, Lord. Praise to Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to think about what that forehead of flint means. I think he meant that in the best possible way. Thank you, Lord. It's just, you know, it's so important that we listen to God's word. It's really important that we hear testimonies. It's so good to sing and to worship God. But part of worship is kind of like dialogue. We talk and God talks, but sometimes we don't listen very well. That's why this is a part of the service that's so critical and why we almost never forfeit it. It's just important that we know what God's word says. We just don't know what truth is unless we know what's in here. There's a reason why God gave us this word. And we can hear lots of opinions, and we've all got tons of them. There's lots of people that are good teachers. But this is the word of God. So turn with me to Matthew 28 today. Matthew 28, and again, I just want to repeat what I said earlier, that God has something for you. You know, you're here for a reason, and God doesn't abandon you. He loves you. God has a plan, and he's got hope, and I just praise him for that. Matthew 28, we've been looking through Matthew, the story of the resurrection, the story of the cross for the number of weeks in the previous to this. But now getting to the resurrection, because this is Resurrection Sunday. Jesus is alive. Jesus comes back. The stone gets rolled away. And here's how the story goes according to Matthew. Matthew 28, it says there, verse 1, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. So there's two Marys. Mary, one was the wife of Cleopas, it's believed, and the other one's Mary Magdalene. They went to look at the tomb, and there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. And the guards,
were so, these are the Roman guards that had been placed there as centurions to guard the, make sure that, you know, everything was safe there. The guards were so afraid of the angel that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." And so the women hurried away from the tomb. They were afraid and yet filled with joy. And they ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. And they came to him and clasped his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, because there they will see me." Amen. I just wonder if just get a, you're going to watch that door? You're going to watch that door? Do you mind just, if someone comes in, just open it and close it so that it's quiet? There we go. If that doesn't work, maybe someone else can go and stand and give them a hand. I just want to read these words one more time. It's about, today's message is about looking for Jesus. And I think one of the amazing things in the story is just that these women, you know, they want to find Jesus. They want to see where Jesus is. And they came expecting to find him in the grave. They came expecting to find him in that tomb where they knew he was laid. And it says here that they were so afraid, they shook. And then it says, what the angel said to the women was this. Thank you. The angel said this, "He is not here. I know you are looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He's risen from the dead." Looking for Jesus. I think there's a lot of people that are looking for Jesus. They probably don't even know it. They're looking for something. They're looking for some kind of an answer. They're looking for some kind of hope. Looking for some kind of way to get their life back on track again. And they try all kinds of different things. And for a lot of people, they don't realize that the only way they're going to get their life back on track and the only really hope that any of us has is through the resurrected Jesus. And the good news this morning, and we're celebrating it from beginning to end, is that Jesus is alive. Amen? Jesus is alive. Yeah, we can clap to that. He is risen. He is risen from the dead. He is no longer dead. He's no longer in the grave. The stone has been rolled away, and my Jesus is alive, and he lives. And because he lives, I got hope. Because he lives, I have life. And the message today is about life. You know, Jesus is a God of life, and we need to have that life. He breathes life into us. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he says. "I promised you an abundant life. Not just an ordinary life, I promise you an abundant life." Imagine that those two Marys, you know, we're told that they came, they were afraid. They were wondering what was going on as they came to the tomb. They expected to see Jesus. They knew Jesus was in that grave. They expected that. They expected that they were going to find him. John tells us that they came with different ointments to anoint his body. That was the purpose why they came. And they must have been indignant, don't you think? They must have been angry. I think when they came up and saw that the stone had been rolled away, they didn't get it. They hadn't realized at that point that Jesus was alive. What they thought was that someone had stolen him. So there must have been some anger and some indignation, you know, as they walk up to the tomb and all of a sudden they see that the stone is rolled away. And they see that Jesus is missing. The first thought that they have is, how dare they? How could they do this to my Jesus? Wasn't it enough? Wasn't it enough that they killed him? Wasn't it enough that they crucified him? Didn't they do enough damage to him with the whip and with the crown of thorns and by dividing his garments and by mocking him? Isn't it enough? When does it stop? Because, you see, they thought that they'd taken Jesus' body, like sometimes they did, and caused even more abuse to the body. That's what they thought. The women thought that someone had come and they were going to do more abuse to Jesus' body. Maybe, like sometimes they did, they'd cut off his head and put it on a spear somewhere. And so they're wondering what's going on, and I think they're indignant and they're angry because Jesus isn't where he's supposed to be. Well, here's the first point today.
Jesus isn't always where we think he's going to be. Sometimes we're pretty sure we know where we're going to find Jesus. I'm going to tell you something, that some of the places I've seen Jesus the clearest aren't places where you'd expect him to be at all. Sometimes Jesus isn't where we expect he's going to be. Those women expected Jesus to be in the grave, and he wasn't there. And here's a point to just hang on to right off the bat here. If you're looking for Jesus in a grave, you're looking in the wrong place. He isn't there. Jesus is not there. He's alive, right? If you're looking for Jesus and all there is death, and all there is a grave and a tomb, he's not there because Jesus is not dead. He's alive. He's alive. Now, I got to say that this morning, I'm going to be a little bit hard on the church. So I hope you can bear with me, but I'm not going to be hard on any particular church. And in a lot of ways, I'm going to try to be really fair and be hard on us too. We need some direct teaching here as well. But you might leave today thinking, man, he's just negative on the church. I'm not trying to be negative on the church. But there's some things that need to be said today. And as I believe what the Word is leading us towards. And it's about this. It's because the whole message is that they were looking for Jesus. And they thought Jesus was in the grave. Well, if today people were looking for Jesus, where would they look? In the church. I mean, honestly, that's got to be probably the main place where people would look for Jesus, is in the church. And the sad thing is that in a lot of churches, there's a lot of stuff, but there's no Jesus. There's not that real Jesus, the Jesus of love, the Jesus who gave up his life, the Jesus who is the Redeemer. We see a lot of things in a lot of churches, but we don't always see Jesus. And the church, in a lot of ways, has become more more of a haven of where people live who are dying than a house or a place for those who are really alive. You know what I mean? Like, the church should be, there should be great life in the church. And I'm glad for the examples of that I see here. But there should be life in the church. It should not just be about death. This should be about life and about what Jesus has done. I grew up in a church, and I just was thinking this in the last couple days, actually. I kind of had a memory of something. I don't get a lot of memories of my childhood, but I remember going to that old mainline church that I grew up in. And I was probably about 8 or 9 years old, and I was in a choir. And that church was, I just remember, I could almost feel the feelings I had when I was back at that age again. I was afraid of the building. I was afraid of the church. I was afraid of the coldness of it. I don't know if you can relate to this or not. I was afraid of the long, narrow building with the hard oak pews. And it was a place that, to me, you know, I mean, honestly, I didn't ever want to go. I didn't want to be there. I didn't like it. It was cold. It was like a tomb. You know, it was closed. There was no openness. Maybe that's the word. It wasn't an open tomb. It was closed. There was still a big stone rolled in front of it. And I remember having to go to choir practice, because we all would wear these yellow nightgown things and sing. We have to sing, you know. We were part of the kids' choir, and I hated it. I hated going there. Everything about it just seemed like death to me. And part of the reason for that was on every, you know, there's death on all the walls, all the stained glass windows. All the stained glass windows had a name of someone who had donated it, you know, in memory of Mariel Petty, memory of Mary Littlejohn, you know. It was all about, everything was about death. And then there were these plaques of the war heroes. You know, these are the men who died in World War I. And then on another wall, these are the men who died in World War II. And as a little kid, I just found that really creepy. You know, just it was all about death. And I guess what I'm saying is that the church should be a place of life, not a place of death. That the message that we should have for people who come into this place is that you can really live if you ask Jesus into your life. That there's hope, yeah. There's hope because of what he has done for me. Because he's alive, I can be alive too. And sometimes people go to church and they find a lot of things, but they don't necessarily find Jesus Christ. They find a lot of nice people and a really rockin' worship band, but there's no Jesus. They find great architecture and wonderful stained glass windows, but they don't find Jesus.
they find a place where they can be buried properly. You know how many people are going to church today, trying hard to get their name on the membership roll so that they can get a good Christian funeral if that day ever happens? Again, it's about death and it isn't about life. They find a good funeral, but they've never found Jesus. There's a lot of places today you can go to, and there's a lot of really nice people there. And there's a really good, positive thinking message from a great speaker, and you'll find that there. But you won't find Jesus. And so here's the key teaching I want to give you today. If you've come here this morning, and you want to find Jesus, just like those women, the two Marys, just as they were looking where Jesus was. If you've come here today looking for Jesus and he's not here, you should go somewhere else. You really should. If you've come here today and you want to know Jesus, you want to find Jesus, you're looking for him, but he's not here at all, then we are doing the wrong thing, and it's time that we change things up or shut the doors. Because then we're just going through the motions. We're just being religious, maybe. Maybe we've got some nice traditions, but we're not offering life to people. Jesus is alive, and he's here, and we need to recognize that. We need to know that there is power in the resurrected Jesus. Amen? Otherwise, you know what? I got nothing to offer you. We might as well just stop and go for a picnic or go bowling, or there's some good Chinese food next to us, but let's stop doing this because it's got no point. If this isn't alive, if you cannot find the living, resurrected, anointed Christ in this place, go somewhere else by all means. Find where he is. Find where he is. And I'm not saying that this is the only place where you can find Jesus, or even that church is the only place, because like I said earlier, some of the places where I've seen Jesus the clearest have had nothing to do with church. But by all means, we have no hope to offer to people unless that living Christ is in us and in this building and in our lives. That's really true. Jesus is alive. What do we celebrate this day? We celebrate that he is resurrected. He has accomplished what he set out to accomplish. The transaction for sin has been met. He's been paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. And there isn't anyone here today, you can't leave without hearing this message, that there's hope for you. No matter how dismal your life is, no matter how bad your marriage is, no matter how addicted you are to the drug or to the smoke or to whatever it is, man, there's hope for you. And it isn't just because I'm saying it, it's because God says it. There's hope. There's great hope. There's only one person who could ever turn my life around, and it wasn't me. There's only one person who could ever turn my life around and breathe real life into me, and that was God through his Holy Spirit. And it's not a secret that God keeps from us. He says, I want to offer this to all of you. I died for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. Do you have abundant life? I think there's a lot of people who go, no, I'm barely making it. You know, we put our hands in our pockets and we go, oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it through tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to make it through tonight. Well, that's not abundant life. God has so much more for you. Honestly, God has so much more for you than what you're believing. Let's go back to the story. In the story, the two Marys come to the tomb, and there's an angel there, and the angel says, why are you afraid? And why are you looking for Jesus here? You know, Jesus isn't there. Jesus is gone. He's off to Galilee. As they go down the road, this is really interesting, Jesus sees them. You know, apparently he's not in Galilee yet. And Jesus says, hey, it's me. And they put their arms around Jesus' feet, and Jesus says, now go tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee, he says. And then he's apart. But before all that happens, there's another thing that's interesting that happens, and that's that the angel says to the women, here, come and take a look at the empty tomb. I can almost like he's got his arm around their shoulders, right? He says, you want to see that Jesus isn't here? Well, okay, quickly. We're going to do this quickly, he says. I want you to see this. He takes them, and he says, look, he's not here. And they could see the grave clothes. They could see the linen that Joseph of Arimathea had wrapped Jesus in a few days ago. They could see that the grave clothes were laying there. But with their own eyes, they could see that Jesus wasn't there. And maybe it's for that reason that the angel showed them that. Sometimes we need verification. Sometimes we've got to look at the empty tomb. Sometimes we've got to open our eyes and say, hey, God is not, Jesus is not here. And that's a revelation. Jesus is just not here. He's somewhere else. But the cool thing is that the angel doesn't keep them there very long. He says, let's do this quickly. Now go quickly and tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee. I think the point is, sometimes we spend way too much time looking at what Jesus or where he was, rather than looking where Jesus really is. And again, I think the church is guilty of that. We spend our time focusing on what Jesus did and where he was, but not where he is right now and not what he is doing right now. We spend our time celebrating almost nostalgically all the wonderful, amazing things that Jesus did. And they're all great things, and there's time that we should spend on that. But instead of looking only at what he did in the past, let's look and where he was. Where he was in the past, we should be looking at where he is now and what he's doing right now. Sometimes, here's an example, and I've dealt with people like this, and I've had a bit of this in my own life, but sometimes we have this amazing experience as a Christian. Maybe it happened when you're a teenager, like Chad talked about when he gave his life to the Lord. We have this amazing high, you know, we have this spiritual high. I know some Christians who spent their whole lives trying to remake that spiritual high again. They go, oh, I had such a wonderful time at that crusade or in that church, or that was a moment in my life that, you know, we want to try to reconjure it up again. I know people that try to spend their whole lives trying to reconjure, get that feeling again. And really what we're doing is we're spending all of our lives looking at the past. We're looking at that one event that happened 20 years ago, and Jesus is saying, why don't you walk with me today? Instead of just looking and remembering that great time we had 20 years ago. See, it's not just looking at what Jesus did or where he was. It's looking at where he is right now. Sometimes I've had people say to me, wouldn't it be great to go to Jerusalem? We could get a whole bunch of us, you know. It'd be great, and there's such a good tours that are going on there, and we can see what he did and where he walked and how he lived. And I got to admit, there's a draw to that. I look forward to that someday. I hope someday I'll be able to go to Jerusalem. I'll be able to see that city. But you know what? I am more interested in being led by the Holy Spirit to where Jesus is going right now than to be led by nostalgia to walk and to retrace the footprints of Jesus from 2,000 years ago. And I'm not saying there's no value in going to Golgotha and going to Gethsemane, and you know, there's all those stations of the cross, right? I'm not saying there's no value to any of that, but isn't it so much better to go where Jesus is today and what he's doing by the power of his Spirit today? I want to go where Jesus is, not just where Jesus was. And I got to admit that I grew up in a church and I was a Christian who lived this way all my life, that I spent all my time wanting to just be where Jesus was. And I only knew the footprints of the past. And I didn't realize that he sent his Holy Spirit, and that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to lead me to where Jesus is right now. Amen. And that he's alive. He's alive right now. He's not just alive on Resurrection Sunday 2,000 and some years ago. Jesus is alive right now. He's a living Savior. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Right? Some churches even have they call it the Via Dolorosa, the way, the stations of the cross. You can walk around the church. You can start at one station. I don't even know how many stations there are, but you go from one to the next, and then you see Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and you see Palm Sunday, and who's all the different, and we retrace. It's all about retracing the tradition of how Jesus came to the cross. Well, today, God is saying, okay, celebrate that, but do it quickly. Because what's way more important isn't just what I did for you, isn't just where I was. What's way more important is where I am right now. The last thing, and I think it's a very important thing, the last thing that Jesus and that the angels say is, tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee. That's an interesting statement. I think that it begs the question, well, why Galilee? Why does the angel say that? Why does Jesus say that to the two Marys? Meet me in Galilee. I'll give you the answer to that. First of all, Jesus was from Galilee. He's from Nazareth of Galilee, okay? So that was his hometown. That was the area where he was from. He spoke with the accent of a Galilean. Not only that, but Jesus did some of his best miracles, some of the most notable, I guess. I don't know if you can say just some of his best work. He did some of the larger part of the gospel comes out of that region of Galilee. Do you understand that? And some of his most notable teaching that we read in the scriptures is when he was ministering in Galilee. It was Galilee, you could say, was the heart of Jesus' ministry. He kept going back to Galilee. He kept going back to minister to those people. But here's the really important part of it. Galilee was always known, in the Old Testament, it's known as Galilee of the Nations or Galilee of the Gentiles, okay? So this was a cosmopolitan town, it was a region, I should say. It was on a seaport, and a lot of people were coming and going. It was not just a Jewish little community, but the Gentiles came in and out of there, in and out of there. It was a Galilee of the Gentiles, and the reason why Jesus says, come and meet me at Galilee, is because it's in Galilee that the Great Commission was uttered by Jesus. Right? If you look at verse 16, you can look at it later. Verse 16, verse 28, it says, chapter 28, it says that Jesus said to his disciples, they met him in Galilee, and Jesus said to his disciples, all authority, all power on heaven and earth has been given to me. And now I send you, go, he says. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all the things that I have taught you. And know this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. That great commission happened in Galilee. Why does Jesus say to the two Marys and tell them to tell the disciples, you know, meet me in Galilee? Because it's in Galilee that we are given this amazing commission to go out and tell the world. To go out and tell the world that Jesus saves and that Jesus is alive and that we need to follow Jesus, not just to the places he's been, we need to follow Jesus to where he's leading us and where he wants his church to be so that we can truly be alive. And so that those of us who come here can find the resurrection and the life, right? We've got a great commission. I left last Sunday and it was a great service and people came to the front. And, you know, five or six people gave their lives, or maybe some of them recommitted their lives to Christ. And I was preaching about the moment. Remember? The moment of Jesus dying. At that moment, the rocks crumbled and the dead rose. And at that moment, there's a great, amazing things happened. And it was the message moved into it's time for your moment. It's time for your moment. It's time for you to give your life. Maybe this is the moment that you give your life to Christ. And I'm not going to say it was awesome, because that makes it sound, yeah, it was good, but I got to tell you something, that when I left here, I felt God was saying this. He was saying, I wanted so many more to come today. It was a moment for so many more, and they should have heard, but they didn't hear. And I don't know if in the last few weeks you've been thinking about bringing someone to church, and maybe you just didn't do it. You should have. And so the indictment is on us too today. I think that we've grown complacent. I think I have too. I think that the great wonder of salvation and this new life we've taken for granted, and we're not inviting people. We're not challenging people. We're not offering. Maybe that's a better word. Take this for whether it's true or not, and search your own heart. Maybe I'll put it in a question. Are you really offering this amazing thing that we have? Are you really offering that to the people around you? I had someone this week say, well, I don't hang around with any people who need this. And I don't know how I could, that's not my gift. I can't do this, you know. You know what? That's not my problem. That's your problem. That's not, because it's not what God says. You know, someone said, they said to me, I just don't have that kind of personality. I don't have that kind of authority. Well, you know what? You're so wrong. And again, it's not my problem. You take that problem up with God, not with me. Because it's God who said, I give you all authority and all power. So if you want to stand here today and say, well, I don't have that kind of authority. That's something Frank can do, and Pastor Stan can do it, and Jill can do it. That's not for, you know what? That's not my problem. You take up that problem with God, because I didn't make this up. I am not making this up as we go along. This is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that I give you all authority, and I give you all the power so that you go into the world. It doesn't just say give some money so that Cindy goes into all the world, or so that Len goes into the world. It says you go into all the world because you are alive in Christ, and because I give you this great commission, and because what you have is the greatest gift that anyone could ever possibly have, and you need to share it. You need to share it. And just because all of us have been sitting around on our butts and crossing our arms and going, things are so good around here, and just because everyone seems to be doing the same thing and no one is that interested, I know I'm getting negative here, I'm sorry, fewer of us are interested in the harvest, it doesn't make it all right. It doesn't make it all right. There are people who are lost. Just let me talk, okay? There are people who are lost. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay. It's not easy, Brian. And I know that. And you go through hard things, right? But you know what? There's hope, right? Do you believe that? And you know there's people here who really love you. That's right. So give me a hug, okay? I love you. It's going to be all right, man. You want to sit or you want to stand?
No, I'm okay.
Okay. Amen. I don't know. I hope you're hearing what I believe that God wants us to hear today. We have so much. I have been given so much. I have a new life. I have a forgiveness of my sins. I have a Jesus who's alive. I have a Jesus who's alive. Why are we not sharing that? I challenge you today. You know, maybe God's already challenged you. Maybe you are that person who you were going to bring someone last week or maybe the week before and you went, nah, you know, that's just icky. that's no, what if they turn me down? What if they're not interested? Oh, come on. Let's stop that. Did you hear that? You have all authority. You have all authority. Jesus doesn't just say, I'm going to give you 4 ounces of authority. It should be enough. No, you have all authority. Just take it. Be bold. Just take it. Tell someone, this is what Jesus did to me. This is the only thing I have is my story. I can't tell Gaston's story, but I can tell my story. This is what Jesus has done for me. He's given me hope. He's given me a future. And if that's something you're interested in, I'd love to sit with you in church on Sunday. Or I'd like to take you to a Bible study. Crystal has a Bible study. Lorraine has Bible studies. Jill has Bible studies. There are men's groups that meet different times. All you got to do is ask. And maybe you'll get rejected. So what? So what? Who cares? You have the commission, every one of you, to go and to make disciples of every nation. And here's the point. You want to know where Jesus is? No, that's what we're talking about. You're looking for Jesus? Well, you start in Galilee. And you start with his people. You start with the ones who need him. Here's the answer. Jesus is in the harvest. Okay? Jesus is in the harvest. And he's waiting for the harvesters to join him. He's waiting for the harvesters to gain some boldness and some faith in their lives. Because honestly, what you've got, is way too important to just keep it to yourself. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you. I'm going to pray this morning, and I'm going to close in a song, but I also felt God was saying that, you know, there may be some people here today, and this isn't going to be about becoming a Christian today. By the way, if you want to become a Christian, you don't need me for that. You can do that anytime you want. Later on in the day, you just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. You really don't need to say anything more than that. A lot of times, it's just more words. Just ask Jesus into your heart, and it is a done deal. But what I do want to do today is pray for anyone who's here today, and you're really looking for Jesus. You want to see Jesus. I want to pray for you particularly today. Let me say that again. You need to see him. You need to see Jesus. You're looking for him just like those two women were looking for him. If that's true for you today, in just a minute or two, I'm going to ask you to stand up in your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. You don't need to come to the front. No one's going to be pushing you around. There's going to be no organ music. I'm just going to pray, okay? Just pray. So if today you want to see Jesus, I'm going to ask you to stand right now. Just where you are, just stand. And we're going to pray for you. Thank you. That's good. If today you want to see where Jesus is, that's good. That's good. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the way you speak and for how alive and real your word is. Let me just pray right now for those who stood and for those who couldn't stand for whatever reason. We want to see you today. We're tired of chasing after you and not seeing where you are. We want to look towards you, God. We know you're not in the grave. We know where you're not. So I pray today that you'll show us where you are. And we're standing today because we need you, and there's no one else who can fix. There's no one else who can redeem all that's wrong in our lives. And we pray because you promise us that if we seek you with all our hearts, we're going to find you. God, we pray that we'll find you, that our eyes will be open, and we're going to see just how powerful, how great you are, Jesus. We believe that you are God of revelation. That means that you're God who wants us to know. And that if we ask, you'll open our eyes. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that you'll open our eyes so we see Jesus. And Lord, maybe we see you in a Bible study. Maybe we see you in a hospital room. Maybe we see you at the kitchen. Maybe we see you as we're doing our homework with one of our children. I don't know, Lord, but show us Jesus. You promise us this. You promise that if we ask, we'll receive. So I believe, God, we believe in faith today that as we seek you, we're going to see you and we're going to find you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you know our hearts. You know how sincere we are about this right now. And Lord, finally, I just want to make that commitment, God, that we commit ourselves to following you. And we commit ourselves to going even into the places that are uncomfortable and places that we're out of our comfort zone as we go into the mission field. And we take you at your word, that we are well equipped, that we have all authority, we have all the power, even if we don't feel like it. It doesn't matter how we feel like. We stand on your promise and on your promise alone. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you, God. If you're needing prayer today, it's a good, you're in the right place. Going to say you're lucky. That's not a good Christian term, so I'm not going to say you're lucky. If you need prayer today, there's people who will pray for you. Don't think that there isn't, and don't leave without it. Maybe you've got some need in your life. You can come to the front. You can just get on your knees. You can just stand here. Someone will pray for you. Let's stand up.
remember that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord Jesus cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. May God give you His peace. That's a promise. Amen. God bless you.
Oh, great and mighty Lord.